Welcome back to We Screw Up Production Radio.
Hopefully this will be a longer pre-show than the last one, which just got lost in computer issues.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think we had some cool things to talk about in that show, and, well, it's gone now.
Eh. Well, more cool things. It's not going to be like the only cool thing we ever came up with.
No, no. So what's so I guess I should big my big announcement.
He got some plans.
I got a job, got a gerb. I got two offers this week actually, which is pretty cool after a long time of looking at interviews and getting nothing.
Right.
Two offers. Ooh,
it sounded like one was pretty good. One was something you would have taken if you had it. You know.
Yes.
So it wasn't one you were going to pass on, but it wasn't nearly as good as the one you ended up taking.
That's the way it worked out, yeah. There was one that, you know, was certainly not a terrible offer, but it was considerably less than I thought I deserved. And then there was one that came in that was, yeah, pretty much right on the money.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very happy, and that will start next week, so I have a week to do, you know, nothing. Probably gonna do some more physics stuff. Actually, do some physics learning,
cool.
And lectures and shit.
Able to do lunch sometime this coming week?
Yes, absolutely.
Because like I said, there's two places I want to take you, but I don't know. I have to flip a coin if we're only gonna do one. Because there's Gaucho, which is the Argentine barbecue type restaurant. Their sandwiches are pretty damn good. And there's Thin Man Sandwich Shop, which is more of the gourmet ingredient type sandwich shop, right? Where it's a weird combination, but those guys can put flavors together. So,
I mean, why not both?
Why not both? I guess that is a possibility.
So we are drinking the...
This is the Hop Dinger from Oso again. We had it on the show last week, and it was Hop Faded. And they sent us two, so we figured might as well give her another try. Still doesn't live up to the name. I mean, it's a fine-tasting amber.
Yeah. What was it I just recently had that was hoppier than I expected? I don't remember. Anyway. remember.
Was it beer?
I recently had some beer, yes. Okay, let's see.
So the meteor shower last night was
meteor shower happened last night that was pretty much a dud. Yeah, the Camellia pardens, I believe.
They're talking about how it could be like the best meteor shower in a lifetime, and it was
just there were a few places where apparently people got good views, but it was for the most part just a bust.
Okay. Yeah, I went to bed around 11:30. The sky was clear or partially clear. And I set my alarm for 1:30. Got up at 1:30. Completely overcast.
Mm-hmm.
Set the alarm for 3 o'clock. Got up at 3 o'clock. Completely overcast. And it was debating whether to set it for, like, you know, 4:10 or not. But, nah. I didn't.
She just looked at your Weather Channel app on the phone, take a look at the cloud.
Uh-huh.
Thinking that'll tell you where the clouds are. And if you see them, because that's what I have.
I mean, you're still anticipating, though. I mean, once the alarm went off, it was just as easy to look out the window than to pull it up on the phone and more definite. So,
but you can see if there's, you know, if there's clouds coming or going, or if there's a big break coming.
I couldn't find the
here's the cloud cover right now,
right?
So you can see it's pretty clear.
The astronomy forecast that you used to pull up, what site was that on? Is that on weather.com? Because I found on weather.com.
AccuWeather.
AccuWeather. Oh, okay. Because I found on weather.com where they had some of the other similar ones, the hunting, the fishing, the travel, the golf. But I couldn't find the astronomy, and I tried looking at other sites, but I couldn't find that astronomy forecast that you used to use.
Yeah, AccuWeather was the site of that.
I see.
So,
Yeah, that.
Anything you had to talk about?
What do I have to talk about?
I'm wearing my Budweiser hat.
It's very nice.
It's a nice hat. I mean,
for being a Budweiser.
Yeah.
It's a well-crafted, it's a well-built hat.
Well-built hat.
But it is bright red and says Budweiser mm-hmm. right across the front. I don't know. Took Allison fishing with my dad for a Memorial Day kids fishing derby. She, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, she caught one fairly big fish.
I did not see it on Twitter.
She, it was funny. We were fishing in real close, just pulling a bluegill. She probably caught like 40 bluegill, right? Just keeping
it
busy.
Yeah, those things just...
And it was the kind of bait we had. We had this, I'm not sure what they're called, but they weren't the hard mealworms. They were really waxworms or something, really soft and gushy. And all the bluegills. I would cast it in right into the school of bluegills, which you could see about 10, 15 feet offshore. And before I could hand the rod to Allison, there was a fish on the hook.
Yeah, I remember doing that at a party once. It was like this big party that was by a lake, and... there was a whole bunch of bluegill in there, and we would just cast out and immediately get tiny bluegill, so you just threw them back, but it was still wow.
It's fun for a little, for a six-year-old, it's fun the entire time. Mm-hmm. For an adult, it's fun for about 10 minutes, and mm-hmm. you're like, maybe now I want to try to catch something a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Because, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's so easy to catch those things. So, anyway... Allison wasn't so good at setting the hook, at jerking the rod, pulling the rod up before she starts reeling. So the bluegill feeding frenzy had calmed down some, so I figured it was a good time to work on that. So I'm casting her rod way out there, and then just having her yank and reel, yank and reel. There's only a tiny piece of chewed up worm on the hook. Tiny little hook, the smallest hook we have so we can catch these baby bluegill. Mm-hmm. And this 16-inch bass hits this almost empty hook. So Allie pulled in this 3-pound 16-inch bass when we weren't even trying to catch fish, mm-hmm. when we were just practicing setting the hook.
Beginner's luck.
Oh, well, she set the hook, I guess, huh? it was weird.
You can keep that, right? I mean,
not at this lake. Oh. No, not at this lake. I'm not sure. I think bass does have a season. I'm not sure. But the hook was like on the outside of his mouth going in. So, like, when she was setting the hook, she might have, like, the bass might have just coming to check out what was going on and got a hook in the face. That might have been how it happened. So, that was pretty cool.
Good stuff.
It's a funny thing, you catch the fish when you're just...
When you're not trying.
Not even trying.
When you're trying, you're like, oh, God, where is this fish?
Yeah, so that was fun. Max caught two fish, and then he was about done fishing. He played with his cousin Noah. He had a bunch of Star Wars toys, so he was just playing on the bank the entire time.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else is going on.
No love, you wee. It's on your...
Allie's writing words that she knows. There's words all over the place. She finds a notepad, she puts words on them.
That's cool. She read to me the other night.
Yeah. She's actually sick of that story now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Biscuit stories. This is Biscuit. He's a dog. He is yellow. Woof, woof, Biscuit. Time for bed. That kind of thing.
You can tell that she like partially memorized it already and then partially mm-hmm. was doing a little bit of reading. So it's a good start.
I mean, she's had read many of those stories a bunch, but... the first Biscuit story, I think I helped her with just two words. She was able to read the rest, right? So she was pretty proud and excited, and I think she like realized, hey, I can read, so that's why she carried that book with her for a week and was reading it outside. Of course, it's not a very complex story.
No,
but I'm just saying she got tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going on a Tolstoy next. I mean,
I'm just saying she got tired with it, tired within a week as well.
Mm-hmm.
But for a week, she was carrying it with her. She loved that book because she could read the story.
My sister just got chickens.
Okay.
They got four chickens. Mm-hmm. They had four chicks right now. They're going to have a coop.
Right.
And they're going to have... the pet chickens. Mm-hmm. They're interested in a dog, but Jesse is a little too young for a dog, so they decided to do some sort of in between,
right?
Like a little bit more than the fish, but a little bit less than a dog.
That's interesting that they went chickens for pet. I would have seen it more as a utility animal, right? I would see them, you know, more of a farmer, you know, make it, you know, because they're going to raise eggs, right?
Yeah, they're going to get eggs from, yeah.
So I'm surprised that they're thinking of them as pets. Maybe they're not, but I don't know.
I don't know whether, I mean, obviously as chicks, they're very cute and you can love them and stuff like that. When they become hens, then they become, yeah, more utility. But I guess the idea is also teaching the kids responsibility. They have to clean up the poop. They have to clean up the, you know, to feed them. Mm-hmm. And so far, with the first couple of days, they've been diligent about that. So.
Right.
If you get them that far, then a dog is not.
Right. And you get eggs.
Yeah, and you get eggs.
Four chickens give them a decent amount of eggs.
Yeah.
Rex down the street, he had more than four. He had to downsize, so they ate a couple. And then I can't remember if they got sick or if a raccoon got in the cage or something, but he was giving us a lot of eggs, like basically supplementing all the eggs we needed for all summer, about 2 summers ago.
That's cool.
And then
were they good eggs? I mean,
they're pretty good. They're green eggs.
Oh.
On the outside, you know, the shells were kind of a
I think that's what happens when you wash them, right? I think they have some sort of like protein on the outside.
Well, they might. I mean, yeah, maybe you need to wash them immediately or something to get them white. I don't know. I mean, they were kind of a slate gray with a little bit of a green hue type thing. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. The inside was...
Yeah. But they were good eggs. And, I mean, so that was nice, having all the spare eggs from the neighbor, not having to have your own chickens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they should produce about an egg a day once they get to be mature. So,
yeah.
Should be interesting.
You'll go to visit, and there'll be omelets for breakfast, and fried egg sandwiches for lunch, and custard
Here's
for dinner.
What we got. Eggs, eggs, eggs. Let's make a souffle. Speaking of sort of food things, you know, we talk about gluten a lot, but it's funny that people don't really know what gluten is. I think I saw a Jimmy Kimmel thing on gluten. So gluten is a combination of two proteins, of gliadin and glutenin, and it's sort of a composite protein that makes a kind of lattice, a sort of mesh that adds to viscosity and adds to sort of it traps bubbles really well. Mm-hmm. So that's what gives lifts and things like that. So that's why gluten is so useful in cooking and, you know, in baking and things like that. Gluten traps all that good stuff.
Okay.
All the bubbles in a cake. So that's what gluten is. There is no such thing as gluten allergy, but there is such thing as gluten intolerance from what medical science says right now.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between an allergy and an intolerance, right? I guess an allergy
is a histamine.
Right.
You get, you know, you'll break out in hives, you get a real major reaction, whereas an intolerance, your body doesn't quite know how to do with it, and so it will, you get upset stomachs and things like that.
Yeah. Makes sense. Like I was telling you on the way down to D.C., there was before Allison was born, I was still active in the scout troop. There was one of the kids in the scout troop, and he was just lazy and grumpy, and, you know, I didn't like him all that much, and I think most people felt that way. And then he was diagnosed as gluten intolerant, and they put him on a gluten-free or low-gluten diet, and kid changed. You know, he was peppy, he was friendly, he you know, turned into a great kid after that. So, you know,
there's definitely something to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just saying, you know, if your kids are kind of grumpy and out there, have them checked for, you know, things like that, you know, because maybe they're not just a grumpy teenager. Maybe there's something wrong with their diet or something like that.
It's amazing how much the diet and all these other outside things affect the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to my consciousness argument where I don't think that there's such a thing as a you. Right. I think that you is a construct. It's a very convenient construct, but it's made of a whole bunch of different processes overlapping and happening at the same time. It's like the analogy I like to use is a browser. browser running on your computer can do a whole bunch of really interesting things. And it's capable of operating different things. It's even capable of, in some cases, going deep into the computer itself and pulling things out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, A, reliant on the computer, and it's really a series of several programs running at once. And at the bottom level, the browser is just a program that's running on top of a whole bunch of other different things that are running. So I think consciousness is something similar to that. And the whole idea, this goes to the idea that I think that when you die, or let me put this, when you go to sleep, you're dead.
When you go to sleep, you're dead.
You've lost consciousness. You wake up, a new consciousness emerges. Now, it's essentially the same as the one you started with, so you're not going to really notice much of a difference. But that consciousness that was going before you lost consciousness is no longer there. So effectively, you died. Doesn't really mean anything because you come right back in a very minor adjustment. But that happens, you know, just taking a... Having alcohol affects your consciousness, right? Yeah. I mean, you could see that in Hoist, this whole idea of a soul, right, is silly when looked in terms of what we know now. Jeff is trying to work the huge kegger that we got. We got a mini keg from Breckenridge.
Figure since we have 5 liters and I'm out of beer, I'll have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe since the pour was such ahead, pouring it before the show starts might actually be a good idea.
In other science things, I don't know if you saw this, but there's some experiment that they're trying to turn light into matter, which is really cool.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously... E equals mc squared, right? I mean, we know it happens in particle accelerators that things smash and then, you know, you get light given off. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that we never really had it in a controlled experiment where we are firing just photons
mm-hmm.
at the right energies. So they should produce an actual electron-positron pair.
Hmm. Fun.
Yeah. So they think within a year they'll be able to do that.
So that's a lot of energy, huh, to make an electron.
That's a lot of energy, yes. So they're going to do high-intensity lasers. Mm-hmm. And it has to be just the right, just the right power.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you end the universe.
Well, no, otherwise otherwise it's not energetically favorable for those things to form.
Right.
So... I think it's cool.
It is. It's. Do we know how many watts or anything like that? Any idea?
I don't know.
No. Okay.
It's in the article somewhere.
1.21 gigawatts.
Well, I mean, an electron itself is not that much. I mean, it's on a level of
still a piece of matter.
A couple electron volts.
Still a piece of matter.
It's. What is a piece of matter? A piece of matter is a fluctuation in a certain field.
Sure.
But
it takes a lot of energy to make one.
It takes a considerable amount of energy to make one, yes. Yeah. But it's just energy in a different sort of state.
Right. Sure. But I'm just in awe that we can control said energy to make matter.
It's pretty cool.
It's kind of like what God did, man.
It's very Star Trek replicator thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Is that how the replicator was supposed to work? I always presumed that it was more of it had components, like it had a bunch of ink cartridges, right?
That was
I imagine the replicator more like a 3D printer made of a bunch of different elements. You know,
that's how the replicator. Well, the replicator did sort of two things. It took bulk matter and then turned that into energy. And then turn the energy back into the matter you wanted.
Oh,
so
okay.
It really did both.
Okay.
And transporter does that too. It turns your body into energy, mm-hmm. and then sends the energy down on a confinement beam and then reassembles.
Right.
Talking about ridiculous.
There's been lots of things we thought were ridiculous that actually happened, but...
You need a telescope the size of the sun. A telescope the size of the solar system to be able to get that kind of detail. You need to be able to somehow compensate for Heisenberg for the absurdity principle. And you need more energy than the sun would produce in its entire lifetime.
Okay.
So once you've solved those problems, you've pretty much got it made.
Well, sure, but they also have warp drive. I mean...
Right. They also have essentially time travel. So, yeah, good on them.
Tricorders.
Tricorders.
Proton torpedoes.
Tricorders, it doesn't seem like that hard a problem.
Yeah, I know.
In comparison. Photon torpedoes.
Pesky physics.
You know, I think that the physics of mass impacts are more... they're definitely more powerful than energy.
You were talking about the shield.
Yeah, right? The plasma shield, yeah. These would just be able to stop energy from getting through.
And you were saying, like, all energy, right? So you wouldn't be able to tell if the bad guys were still on the other side of the shield.
Yeah. It would block your view, but it would block them. But energy weapons don't seem to be, like... I mean, you want kinetic weapons, I think, and... Mm-hmm. In a space battle, that would be much more devastating.
By kinetic weapons, you mean throwing projectiles, right?
Yes.
Problem there is, you know, hauling around a bunch of heavy projectiles in space is troublesome, right?
It's, yeah.
So, maybe no one can afford to have kinetic weapons. Well, you need a BB gun to get through the energy shield, right?
I mean, in theory, all you need to do is just dump some waste at a high enough relative speed mm-hmm. compared to the other thing that it would impact.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, you don't even need to really carry around particular shells or something.
Armored piercing, yeah. Nothing. Okay, put the poop in the torpedo
tubes.
This
hammer broke, just throw it in the tube and just fire it at, you know, make sure it gets there at, you know, 1% the speed of light. Compared to his actual right. weapon, then man, you've got a huge,
yeah,
a lot of energy. So,
yeah, no, certainly. So I was just picturing it, you know, like it's like having torpedo tubes, but instead of actually propelling stuff out the torpedo tubes, you just load them. You open the front doors and you hit the brakes. You know, you start, you go, you, you,
yeah.
you're going full speed, hit the brakes, and the stuff just flies out the tubes. You know.
But then you have to have a lot of energy just to quote unquote hit the brakes.
Well, you can hit the brakes slowly, actually. You just gotta start your attack from far enough away.
True.
Because the hammer's just gonna start floating forward slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And it might only leave your ship by, you know, a couple meters a second or something like that. But it's heading towards that other ship at thousands of miles
right,
a second.
However long that's out, yeah. So I don't know. If we ever manage to do any type of space, it would require battles.
Space battles. Of course it's going to be space battles. With aliens. Bad aliens.
Aliens. Speaking of space things, there's one of the three ISEE satellites. It was a solar satellite that was thrown out there in the 70s. And it basically, NASA stopped all operations in, I think, 96. And... it's coming around near Earth again, and some citizen scientists have decided to try to get in contact with it, and they were able to make some contact with it, and NASA gave them equipment to see if they can, hey, start it up again and go nuts with it. Do what you want. They're going to have their own little satellite.
Is it in a solar orbit?
I believe it's in a solar orbit, yes.
Okay. So it'll... drift out of range of reasonable equipment.
Right, yeah. I mean, they won't have the deep space network, obviously, to do things, so...
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. ISEE-3, Citizen Rescue.
That's pretty neat. Makes you think what they could do with, you know, Voyager. Well, again, that needs deep space. There's no way any citizens can do that. So you'd have to find these things in solar orbits, come back every once in a while. You know, hand those off to...
Why not? I mean, you know, NASA doesn't have the money really to do things with it, so why not just, you know, let other people play around with it? Excuse me. Wrong pipe.
That's got to be fun working with a satellite from the 70s.
Well, they showed... On the story I saw, they showed some of the equipment. It's like a reel-to-reel they needed and things like that, just in order to communicate with it. So, it's kind of funky. There have been three kind of big tentpole movies just recently.
Okay.
So, there was the Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Spider-Man Part 2.
Okay.
Did not care to see it. And then today, which I think is going to make a huge amount of money, or yesterday, the X-Men movie, the new X-Men, Memorial Day weekend. It has like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's going to make a huge amount of money.
I heard a lot of people complaining about Godzilla.
Really?
I did. Just a couple things on Twitter, some people at work. I don't really... No, I haven't paid enough attention to really have an opinion. I know the one person on Twitter was bitching because there was a preview at the beginning of Godzilla that had Godzilla in it. So, like, they spoiled the reveal of what the monster looked like. Like how it looked in the movie type thing. Like, in the preview. But
okay.
I don't know.
Oh, and did we talk about Community being canceled?
We did, but it might not have made it to the air.
Yeah. Community got canceled. Probably won't be coming back. Had four good seasons. I'm kind of not that broken up about it. Mm-hmm. Everyone will move on to great things, I'm sure. You know, the person I think I feel the worst for is probably Danny Pudi. Because I think that he did some amazing acting and amazing stuff, and he won't get the kind of recognition that like Joel McHale and Alison Brie and Gillian Jacobs will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Yvette Nicole Brown has her stuff that she'll be able to do. Jim Rash, of course, Oscar winner. He's got plenty of things going on.
Right.
Dan Harmon is already another show, and he has other things that he can tack on to. But yeah, Danny Pudi, I feel like, is going to get the short shrift. He's going to get all the parts that Camille doesn't get.
Oh, he's a typecast Indian guy, huh? How's Danny Glover's rap career doing?
Donald Glover. Danny Glover? He's too old for this
shit. Yeah, sorry. I was going to say Donald. I thought he was the old one.
It's going.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't been following it. I'm not a fan of his rap.
They could always, you know, they should do a spinoff, Troy and Abed in the Morning. with imaginary guests and...
I doubt that will happen. But, so there won't be six seasons in a movie. There are just five seasons and one of them is not worth watching. So four seasons. That's better than a lot of great shows get. So I say enjoy.
Hot lava.
Hot lava.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And one before that was good, too. So, I have a couple more things to talk about, but we should probably head on to the show.
Sounds like a plan.
And...
we got a goes in the can.
Yeah, a goes can. Goes can.
Sounds like fun.
All right.